What's God saying about sustaining our ability to feed from the abundance of your household? Amen. I just want to take just 10 minutes to talk about it, and then we can go on. There are two types of garden. If you have, the thing that determines what happens to the garden is source of water. That's what makes the difference. Are we agreed?
Yes.
If you have a garden, no matter how beautiful your garden is, it can change in a matter of weeks and hours if there's no source of water. Amen. So can you name the types of garden mentioned in the Bible? Who can mention to us two types of garden mentioned? Yes? Yes. The Garden of Eden one and which one are one? No, they are all the same. The Garden of Eden, Gethsemane is the same type of garden. But there's another type of garden. Now, I want to put my money on that one. If you capture that one, then you will win the prize. The soul is where the garden is. So you have got one type of garden where the soul is like what? A watered garden. By the way, what is the water? Okay, what is the water in the soul? Sorry, it's like I've been turning to Bible study. The rice is not here. Huh? So the water is what? The word. Where is this? What? How do you prove that? What is the scripture that tells you the water is the word? By the washing. Where did you find that? Ephesians chapter 5, somewhere around 20, it says, it's about the watering of the water. And then John chapter 15 also talked about it. So you are clean by the words that I have spoken to you. And then another one, don't forget John 2, John 3. He speaks about being baptized by the water, you know, so it's clear, the water. What else speaks about water? What else is like water? That affects the soul, affects your mind and others. Yes? Yeah. Is it only water that is the word, that speaks of the word? What else does the water speak about? Raise your hand now. Let's see. Hey, this is serious. Brother said yes. He said, out of your heart you have no what? River. But he's not telling us what that water is. What else is the water? Huh? The what? Which scripture tells you that the Holy Spirit is like water? Please, can you show John 7, 37? John 7, 37. Okay, in that last day, that great day of the feast, you stood Jesus and cried and said, if any man, who is the man? Is it the body that tests him? Okay, if any man, or if any soul, or if any emotion, any desire, any mind, any will, any spirit, if any man test, let him what? Come to me and what? Drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living, not just water, living water. Okay, verse 39 answers our question. For this speak he of the what? Spirit. Which they that believe on him should
receive.
For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet. Has the Holy Spirit been given?
Yes.
So, do you have a sustainable source of the supply of the Spirit upon your soul, upon your mind? When you hear one news, do you have a source? Do you know how to tap the Spirit to water your soul. Amen. There are a few other scriptures, but I want us to go on. Okay, so we are saying that we have seen one type of garden. All right, and that garden, you know, is the soul, the mind, and all that. But what's the other type of garden? Raise your hand now if you are talking. Where is it? Well, God will bless you. Just raise your hand. Hey, who is that? Emeka? Hey, God bless you. Emeka says, what did you say?
Wilderness.
Yes. How is wilderness a garden? It's a what? It's a garden without water. All right, give us the scripture now, brother. Okay, Psalm 62. Let's do Psalm 62. See if it will help us. Oh, 63. No, good. 63. A psalm of David when his soul became a wilderness. Alright, we can read it that way. He said, God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsted for thee, my flesh hungered for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Amen. Okay, so the tables can change very easily from a watered garden to a wilderness. Amen. So there are two types of gardens I have seen in the Bible. The one that is watered, the one that has a constant supply of water, and the one that has none. Maybe it was watered a few months ago. Now no more water coming to it. And we have also seen that that water is speaking about the word, and it's also speaking about the ministry, the flow of the Spirit of God in you. Amen. So, the question is, you and I, can we do anything about it? That is, if my soul is waterless, can I change it? Is it in my power to change? How do you change it? By wishing. You think about it. I want to change. I want to have a flow. All right? Okay, Deuteronomy. That takes us to Deuteronomy 6. I just want to share a little bit. I mean, just talk about it. You know, this thing is practical. But I want to recommend a sustainable plan and program. You know, it's a recommendation. It is a high intensity program. It will require diligence. It will require commitment. But the result is guaranteed. Amen. I say amen now.
Amen.
The result is guaranteed. All right, now what is he saying? This was what God recommended to Moses. Is it Moses here? Yeah, to Moses. What does he say? Okay, read verse 6. It says,
are we there?
Good. Verse 6. And these words which I command you this day shall be where? In your hand. So we're speaking hard business. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Is there anything that is left uncovered? Is there any part that is missing? So think about it. Let's look at something else. The same scripture, but in another place. Proverbs 6. Verse Okay. Proverbs 6:20 is even more detailed. It's even better. It says, my son, keep thy father's... What is thy father's commandment? It's the word, isn't it? And forsake not the law of thy mother. In my own understanding, law of thy mother is the ministries that come in the church, testimonies, preachings, books. That's my own understanding, because the mother is the church. Amen. Okay, verse 21 says, bind them. Who is going to bind them? Is it God that's going to do it for you? That is why I said you have to, you can, there are things that you can do. If you don't do it, nobody will do it for you. Bind them what? Continually upon thy hand. And tie them about thy neck. Neck is also another word speaking about the heart also. Verse 22, when thou goest, you are going to walk, you are going to cook, you are going to fellowship, you are going. When thou goest, what would you do? You shall lead thee. When thou dost what? Sleepest. Sleep, that sleeping is not just physical sleep. Sometimes you are not aware, you are just, your mind is taken off, you are caught up in something. In other words, you are kind of asleep. In a sense, you are shut out from thinking about, you know, something. You know, practically, everything is not under your control. No matter how much you can plan, there are times when some things are not under your control. Amen. Like you are now in fellowship, you are not in control in your house. Are you there? Uh-huh. So when you are sleeping, you know, in a compound sense, what will happen? It will keep thee. And when thou awakest, what will happen? He shall greet you. And what? Talk to you. Does the word speak to you? You hear a voice. You know, sometimes we're very busy. But I'm telling you, God speaks. He's a talking God. He talks and talks and talks and talks. Amen. For what? The commandment is a what? It's a lamp. And the law is what? Light. And reproofs of instruction are what? The way of life. Amen. So, when you put Moses and Solomon, the psalmist, you're looking at two witnesses, say by the word of two or three witnesses, every word will be. So it's giving us a principle of life, a way of life. Many of us have different lifestyles. You may have a lifestyle of a teacher, or a lifestyle of a banker, or a lifestyle of a housewife, a lifestyle of a youth. Your soul is crying out for energy, for entertainment. In fact, the soul is a merchant. But sometimes even in Revelations, the soul is called the merchant of the earth. That means it's looking for life. It's going around shopping for energy, shopping for entertainment. Young people, not only young people, but it's common. Young people are looking for entertainment. And that's why this, our friend, is very important. Because it opens up a whole world of entertainment. Who gets that entertainment? Two things. The eyes, the physical eyes. Amen. The physical eyes are active, like seeing everything. And the other thing that is also active is what? Your ears. So those are the two senses, two principal senses. Your eyes and your ears. Amen. But on Sunday, so is this Sunday or Friday, we looked at another scripture, which I want to read. Remember, I just have a short time. The outward man may have a field day, but what the outward man is getting, what the physical eye is getting, is not bringing energy to the soul. It's not watering the soul. Okay, that's the lifestyle I'm talking about. A lifestyle that is keeping the eyes busy. Someone even calls it, hey, eyes, full of adultery that can never stop. The eyes can never stop. No matter what you give, it's not going to stop. You know, but there's an inward eye. That inward man also has his own senses. It's, you know, needs to see. You know, the eyes need to be open. The ears need to hear the voice of God. Amen. So, you and I are faced with a decision. Who are we going to invest in? Remember, whichever one you do, the other will die. You cannot serve God and mammon. If you sow to the flesh, the spirit will become a wilderness. If you sow to the spirit, the flesh will be shut down. Amen. So let me read that last scripture, then I'll go sit down. 2 Corinthians 4. And I drink from the abundance of the house. There's an abundance in God's house. We have to decide to come there continually. Amen. 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. It's a day by day thing. Amen. You know, the outward man is also renewed day by day. If you stop eating, your muscles start shutting down. Your enzymes start shutting down. Your system starts shutting down. And you become emaciated. You become weak in the flesh. When you fast, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to shut down the outward mind, the appetite. You're quenching them. But when you do that, you need to allow the inward man to rise. You need to encourage the arising, the uprising. The Greeks call it a gyro, the recollection of your spiritual and mental faculties, ability to see, ability to hear the voice of God, see the things of God. Paul even prayed that the eyes of the understanding might be enlightened. So fasting gives you that time to shut down. And by the way, fasting is not just food. You can fast from television, you can fast from, you know, hobbies, you can fast from different things. So fasting is all across. Amen. And when you begin to shut down those things, there should be a response the other side. That is, somebody should be rising up. Amen. So Paul is recommending to us that we should change the lifestyle. Okay? And actually the peace offering. That is, you bring the fat. The fat comes from excess. If you have too much coming from the flesh, you don't need it. It's going to be stored as fat. And what it does is that fat blocks, it must be deposited somewhere, you know. It will dull your senses, your ability to see the things of God here. So you should be careful how much you are receiving from the outward. Because it's going to be stored, it's going to become fat, excess, which you need to burn. You burn it by offering it, bringing it to God. Say, God, I'm watching too much television. I'm doing this too much. Can you do something about it? It's an offering. And you have to decide to do it. You know, sometimes it can take a week or a day, but whatever you do, you must come to God and put something on the table. Say, God, let's take this away. Amen. Verse 18, let me close with that. Say, for while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. So we should seek to sow to that which is spiritual. Let me buttress that with Ephesians. It's part of the last scripture. You know, the last scripture has many scriptures with it. Ephesians 3, verse 10. I'm just trying to prove a point that it's what we ought to do. Okay, Ephesians 6, 3:16. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be what? Strengthened with what? Might by his spirit. Where? In the inner man. Even Paul talks about it also. So Paul says you can strengthen, you need to strengthen. You know, the inner man is emotion. Our emotions need to be strengthened. We need maturity. You know? Our desires need to be strengthened. Our mind. Sometimes you get some information that you shouldn't get. You do some things you shouldn't do. It's because the mind is not matured. Is somebody saying amen? There is a maturity in the mind. In fact, it's the mind of Christ. Amen. You see a brother's fault and you keep it in. And you pray for the brother. It's maturity in the mind. Amen. God shows you a vision. You see, you don't go around talking and shouting everywhere. You keep it in and you go and pray. Take a fast. It's maturity. That strength in the inward man. Amen. God will say, he that repeated the matter does not seek love. You know, when you cover it, you know, so there are things that go with it. So he's saying we should come to that place of maturity. So we're being called to maturity, the place where we can have strength in the inner man. Amen. Amen. So he that has control over his emotion is a strong man. Isn't that what Proverbs said? It's better than he that rules over the city, is it not? Amen. Say, he that has no control over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without no control. Our emotions should not just be people. The devil, he says, it may have happened, but there can be a place where our emotions have control. Amen. It includes desires, different kinds of desires for food, for relationships. We can have control. It's called self. It says the fruit of the spirit is what? Self. Self-control means the ability of your mind to bring your emotions, your will under check, under control. Say, sit down here. Say, my soul, wait on the Lord. Who is speaking? You. I say, my soul, hang on. Somebody has said something against you, defamed you. Your emotions want to run while you say, my soul, sit down. Amen. That brother is your brother. Amen. He was overtaken. So sit down. Hallelujah. It may even be your wife or your brother. You know, so I think that's the last scripture. Okay, yes. I think I'm done. Okay, well, as we were singing, it came to me that there can be a sustainable way. And it says we can talk about it sitting down. That means entertainment, the way you relax at home should be with the scriptures. When you're on the road, if you have a little time, your mind should be on the scriptures. You are in the office, scriptures. It's a lifestyle. And when we do that, you see there will be a constant communication between your mind and the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ will be ministering to your mind. And there will be a direct channel. Praise God. So we can sing that song again. Amen. Yes.
Let us share experiences to help one another. Even though you have overcome a lot of anger, something is before you consistently all the time. How do you do it? You put the word. It's not like you don't know that word. You know the word.
No, it's okay now. Okay, so let's take a roll call. Who has overcome? I have overcome. Brother, have I not overcome? Wait, now let's ask, have I not overcome? He will tell you, I have overcome. Praise the sister, have I not overcome? So, what is the scripture saying? I was trying to do for that scripture. Deuteronomy says, I will not drive away all the animals at once.
Yes.
By little. Can someone find you somewhere in Deuteronomy between Exodus 2? The brother says 23. So, sister, that's the answer. Look for it. So the answer is this. That is where I read Proverbs 6. It says, bind it continually in thy heart. Somebody has a word. I would have given you the debt. Now, the reason why we fail is because we do. 23:28. Yeah, there. I will send honey before you and shall drive out the Hebrews. No. That's the place that. By little and little, I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit. Now, when you say inherit the land, the principle, the land is your emotion. If not, there's no, we'll throw this in the way. We're not in history class. The land is your emotion. You have to possess your soul. All right? To possess your soul, that emotion. Emotion is a wild animal. In that place, there are anger, bitterness, there are wild beasts. All right? No, but you can tame the wild beast. Because it says a lion shall eat grass. It's a change. So how do you tame? How do you change? You change it what? Little by little, but there must be strength coming into your emotion to bring that strong man under control, and that's why you need the scripture. You must make a habit of coming to the scriptures day by day. Amen. So, and let me give you. I don't want to give you assignment. Okay, but. Take it as a challenge. All right? Brother Kenneth, do you have that thing again? So I want to take permission from you people. Though. Please, can I have that, my Bible reading something? Let me show you. I am telling you my own personal testimony. All right? It has worked for me. All right? As I'm standing here now, I have like 10 chapters in different places left. If you ask them, the whole of yesterday I was reading to catch up. And as I'm looking at it, the water is flowing through my mind. Just constant flow of water. Brother Huber gave us that testimony. He says, a man told his son, take the basket and go and fetch water. Brother, you know what you said? He told you, I'm not forgotten. You said it. The boy goes to the stream, fetch water. By the time he got to the house, it was empty. The man said, go back again. You go and fetch. He did it many times. He said, look, why are you punishing me every time I go and fetch water with basket? The man said, look at the basket. Brought another one. The one he had used to fetch the water and the one that was in the house, the difference was very clear. The one that is fetching the water was clean. The word of God cleanses your emotion. And I want to challenge you, go at it. It's there in my notebook. All right? Okay. So, we have been saying it. I don't want to. I'm not saying you must do it, but this one is an example. Let's see. Yeah. Just a minute, sir. I'm taking permission. I'm not saying you must do it, but this one gives you four chapters to read a day. This one. Somebody says it's not possible. I say it is possible. All right? You don't have to follow this one. There are many others. There are many ways. So you don't even have to follow this one we're doing. Design your own. But Bible says the entrance of their word does what? Bringeth light. In SU, they taught us daily time. Oh, what's that one? What's it called? Daily prayer. Daily quiet time. All right? Follow it. Many of us have overgrown quiet time, but we don't have any time to talk to God. All right? So if it's day by day, whatever you want to do, get it. I went for a wedding. Somebody gave us a scripture union day by day. This is day. We followed it in the house. Yes, remember better. They gave us. If it's daily guide, you will follow. Take it. Every day, open your mind, and you will see the change. So, I'm telling you, I'm giving my own experience. There are people who have done it. So, let's hear other experiences. Bro, Huba wants to say something.
When I want to read, I always want to read that part of the scripture where I will read and I will understand, I will get the revelation and so on. But then there are other parts that will feel that there's nothing in it. You know? And I want to
address that one. Okay. I will address it.
We pick and choose. I pick and choose.
Okay, the scripture says, is this 2 Timothy? It says what? All scripture is what? Is given. Brother, find me first. Either 1 or 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is given for inspiration. And it's what? Profitable for what? Good done, no, good done. 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that Brother Chijoke may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Example, Chronicles chapter 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 1. This is part of the problem. And this was the son of this. And this was the son of this. This was the son of this. You see that? There is something inside there. Oh yeah, let's go. Oh yeah, let's read. Adam, Shed, Enosh, Kena, Mahalil. Stop. Stop. Oh yeah, go to Kalina, open Mahalil. Mahalil, what does it mean? Praise. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have stopped at Mahalil and you have gone. What does this Mahalil mean? It means what? Praise. All right? Go back again. All right, let's read again. Go back now. Mahalil, Lamech. All right, let's go to Lamech. Go to Italina now. That's the reading now. Go to Italina. What does Lamech mean? Eh? Lamech. The name, it doesn't mean. So it means that there are some things you don't know that God may not tell you. What's the problem?
Yes!
Hey, you don't know? There are some things that you ask to say, God, why? He doesn't tell you. You close your Bible. Continue. So close. Yes. You continue. It's part of the lessons. That there are some things that you can never get answer from. On your hand. Okay, we didn't go there. Okay, let's go. What's the other one? Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth. Oh yeah? The sons of Gomer, Magog, so on. Okay, verse 9. The sons of Cush. Hey, black man. This. So every scripture, no matter what it is, there is something there for you. Okay, go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. I will show you something. This be the words which Moses spake unto what in the wilderness over against the Red Sea between Paran and Topheth. Now, when you start looking at those names, those words, what do they mean? You will see that there are you will see the reasons that there are those words, they mean something. Amen. So whether it's Chronicles or it's Isaiah, whatever it is, they all have a meaning. So if you read it and you don't understand, just go on. The fact that you are reading the scriptures, there's a blessing that comes by it. You know? So to answer that question, there's no part of scripture that's useless. You read it, you may not understand it. You may be sleeping, you wake up one morning, and that scripture begins to bounce in your mind. And you know, and it's a point, you know, if you don't understand, you go to God, what does this mean? What does this mean? You inquire from God, and he will talk to you and tell you. So there is nothing like a useless scripture. All of it means something. Sister Uzi.
With which we come to the Lord about these matters. Sometimes we are not really sincere and we don't really want it. But other times we are sincere. And when we are sincere, the result comes faster. Now, if there's something like Sister was trying to describe, if there's something that is causing an offense, it could be that that thing that is offending me is also offending God. But as I approach God throughout that thing, my approach to God will bring a change to that situation. Because God actually changes situations before us. God moves mountains. He really does those things. But with regards to our own souls, that anger she's described, really, many times we enjoy the things. We really enjoy being angry. But when we are really frustrated by this anger, and we come to God sincerely, brethren, not drama or